Thank you all very much. Look, let me just start off with a factoid for you that may put me in some perspective. Looking for work, I hate it. I absolutely hate it. In fact, I can't imagine much else in my life that's more annoying, more humiliating, more painful than going out and talking to people about hiring you to go to work, because everything is at that point about measuring up, isn't it? Some of them are going to like you, some of them aren't going to like you, no matter what they say. You know what? We just don't need anyone right now with your skills.
They rejected me.
That's what they did. They rejected me, for crying out loud. We just aren't hiring for that category of folks right now.
Yeah, all right, I got it. Okay. All right.
It's a humiliating process, isn't it? You know, there's nothing quite so humbling as to go all the way across town, taking a two-hour trip across town on the bus, get to the office, and the person who you're supposed to meet with, they meet you at the desk, and they say, "Oh, I'm sorry, but Mr. Jones isn't in today. He was sick." Really? He was sick? Didn't bother to call me? Yeah, that's what happens, folks. It is hard work. It's difficult. It's not just for blind folks. It's for everybody. It's hard, right? So what do you do when it's hard? Well, the first thing I find that I tend to do is avoid it altogether. You know, why do something that's so totally hard and difficult every day when, oh, I don't know, I can talk myself into the fact that if I sit in front of my computer and apply for jobs to companies I know nothing about and on job boards, the odds of me getting a job are 3 in 10,000. At least later that day when I see somebody, they'll say, "What are you doing?" "Oh, I was looking for work today." Really? You were? "Yeah, I was looking for work." It was, you know. What else do you do? Well, you start saying things like, "Maybe I'll just stay home and do work from home." Usually you know you're lying to yourself. Usually you know that that's not going to be a real business. You haven't really thought it through about how you're going to make the $100,000 to $150,000 a year that it would take to make that into a real business that would then support your family and provide you with a retirement and all the things that businesses should provide you. But it feels good to say, you know, maybe I'll just work from home. I'll have a small business, right? No, come on. For most of us, that's not the answer. I'm not arguing that you shouldn't go into business for yourself. I've owned 15 different businesses in my life. Some of them were successful. Some of them were miserable failures. I cried when my gas station motorcycle shop went broke, and my grandmother said, "Well, you know, you'll laugh about it 10 years from now." She was right. I did. But those first five were tough, when I kept every day waking up to the fact that I thought I was a failure. And yet, I wasn't. In the long run, all of that experience, I gained a lot. I've owned restaurants. I had three restaurants, bars and restaurants. I've hired hundreds of people. And none of them found it very pleasant either, by the way. I hate the hiring process altogether. It's where you come in and you practice saying everything you can think of that might cause me to hire you, mostly lies. And you tell me that you're good with people. "Oh, Mr. Bullis, I'm good with people." I just want to say, one time I want someone to come in and say, "Yeah, I need a customer service position, but by the way, I hate working with people." I usually pick somebody off by about 10 o'clock in the morning, just so you know. And I'm horrible on the phone. When I answer the phone, I go, "Hello?" Of course, no one ever says that. They read these stupid books that say, what are the top 100 questions employers ask? And so you go into the interview all prepared with your cutesy little answers. And we employers are just shaking our head going, "Oh God, I'm going to take another flyer on somebody here." 50%, that's usually how many work out. About half of the people that we hire turn out good, and the other half turn out bad. We could probably do just as well flipping coins, but we still engage in the process. I will say this, I do have one standard that has helped me weed out a lot of people. I don't even interview anybody who can't write, period, end of subject. I have them turn in a written sample before I ever meet with them. It's about three questions that they have to answer, and if they can't write a clear, concise couple of paragraphs and real sentences with semicolons where they belong, I don't need them. Goodbye. Phew, saves a lot of time. But in the waitressing business, waitering in business and so forth with my restaurants, I wasn't true. I didn't care whether people could write or not. What I wanted to know is whether they were hard workers. And oddly enough, when you ask people, they're all hard workers. And they're all willing to do whatever it takes, Mr. Willis. I'll do whatever it takes. I'm your guy. I used to call them 30-day wonders. Because after the 30-day probation was over, they're like, oh, man, I feel so bad today. I wish I could come in, but I'm sick. You know, I think I got the flu. I say, yeah, they got the brown bottle flu. That's what you got. You picked it up over the weekend, right? So there are two things you got to have, right, to get a job. And they're both sort of skills. One of them is your professional skills. Whatever it is you think you're trying to get hired for, you need to have a pretty good sense of whether you can do it. How does it work? What are the requirements of the job, and can you competitively meet them? In other words, if I hire you, can you do the job as well as the next guy or better? And can you confidently explain to me how you're going to do that? And if you can't, I don't know why you're wasting your time on an interview. Go get an internship or something so you can find out whether you can do it. But don't expect me to know. You're a blind guy, for God's sakes. How the hell would I know? I'm just an employer. And then there are your blindness skills. Once you know you got your professional skills down, you want to get your blindness skills down. And the sad truth, let's just be really clear about this. If you live in 48 or 49 out of the 50 states in this country, you are probably around mostly blind people who don't have very good skills. And you probably believe that because you're about as good as they are, that you all have pretty good skills. But when you come to NFB conventions and you see a bunch of people walking around, clicking along with their canes and doing things you can't do, what do you say to yourself? You say, oh, those guys are special. You know, there's those excellent few. I don't know how they do it. They're amazing. They really are. When actually all they did was go somewhere and get really excellent skills. There are a few places you can do it. You can go to Blind Inc. You can go to the Colorado Center. You can go to Louisiana. You can probably still go to Texas. I think Iowa delivers some fairly decent skills. And then after that, it gets pretty murky out there, folks. Gets really murky. And so if you don't have those excellent travel skills and braille skills and computer skills and so forth, you ought to think about getting them, or you ought to figure out whether you could get them yourself if you can't take the time off to go to a center. I set up when I couldn't go to a center because there weren't any around when I was in the 70s in Oregon, Washington, where I grew up. So I started Mike's Boot Camp. And Mike's Boot Camp lasted 6 hours a day. And Mike is a mean boss. Oh, he's awful. But after a bunch of smashes in the head, and I mean, I failed my way to success. After I spent about 2 years in Mike's boot camp, I then came to an NFB convention and I started seeing there were a lot of people who had better skills than I did. And I said, you know what? They know better than me. I will figure out what they know. And I start following people around, haunting them, figuring out, how did you do that? How did you do that? You know, I wanted to be around these people because they had something I had to have. So get around people who got good skills, folks. Your blindness should not be the thing that decides whether or not you get jobs. Look, I'm pretty pragmatic about this. Y'all can take whatever position you want on it. But if somebody is too stupid to hire me because I'm blind, I probably don't want to work for them anyway. And the reason I probably... the reason I don't want to work for them anyway is because they're going to be a pain in the you-know-what every day. I'm going to be walking down the hall at work and they'll be like, oh, be careful. Look out now. Oh, there's something over there. Something's going to get you. No. Here, do you need some help getting your paperwork? Do you want some help? Let me tie your shoe for you. Oh, my God. Could you imagine working for one of those people? I just want to get through them as quick as I can and get on to the next person because I ain't going to be working for that guy, right, or that gal, because they don't get it. There are people out there who get it, folks. There really are. But you've got to do what? You've got to get out there and make the connections through the people that you already know to the people that you don't know. That's how people get jobs. Over 70% of jobs are gotten through what? Connection. Connection, connection, connection. And you need to be spending your time talking to people who can help you get a job and interviewing them and finding out how they got their job. Oh, my God, I was on the plane yesterday, and the gal in the plane works for Southwest. And I said, hey, how'd you get your job here? And she said, well, I had a friend who worked for Southwest for a long time. By the way, Southwest is one company that will tell you straight up that they won't break their process. You have to go sign up online and stuff. And I said, so how did she help you get a job? And she said, well, she told me exactly when to apply, and she told me what to expect at every step. So I was ahead of the game as I went through it. And then one day she said, 75,000 people applied for jobs and the server crashed, and she called me up and said, you know what, they're going to have the server online for 1 hour tomorrow. And she told me when that hour was. She said, I applied and I got the job. Boom. You know, all because she had a friend and she called her friend up and said, hey, can you help me figure out how to go to work for Southwest like you? Because I do love to travel like you do. And her friend said, yeah, sure, because it's fun. I like it too. That's why I do it. That's all. But your jobs are going to come from the people you know and the connections you make, and you've got to get out there and make those connections. I don't need to tell you that. You've heard all that from me in years past. A lot of you struggle with it. I will say this. If you want help, I am available. I would be glad to meet with you and hang out and work with you on developing a plan, and we'll talk on the phone weekly to see how you're doing with that plan, and if you don't follow through on it, I won't work with you anymore, goodbye. But maybe you will. Maybe it is a plan that you can work with, because we're not going to build something that you don't think you can do, right? And informational interviewing and meeting people is really hard, folks, because I don't care how you cut it, how you think about it, you feel like you're on the line, don't you? You just can't even call somebody up and say, hey, I see you own a fishing business. I'd like to come and talk to you about your fishing business. You're thinking, he probably thinks that I want him to hire me. No, sometimes it's just about going out there and making more and more connections. Connection, 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 folks. That's what it's about. Dick's getting ready to grab me by the arm and drag me out of here. May you know the joy of employment and the joy of success, folks. It is a wonderful activity to get involved in. It's how you measure yourself. It's how you're measured in society. And it can be done. 70 to 80% of all blind people who have good skills and are of working age are employed. Think that one through, okay? There are opportunities out there. You can be one of those opportunities, but don't get stuck, don't get down, and stop lying to yourself and realize and admit to yourself that you're really not having a robust plan, that you really only interviewed two people in the last 6 months and it was kind of a joke, okay? Get out there and build a plan that builds connection and makes noise in your world, and somebody will figure out what's good about you and will hire you. Thank you.